Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Davis Rangy, producer Matthew. Overtime is presented by my friend Julia Hurley with Realty Executives. Give her a call today, 865-237-7328. Tell her the Overtime crew sent you. That level good for you, Davis?
Yeah, I'm just trying to pull some things on the computer here and find the remote because I don't want to look at Greg Sankey's face.
I don't either. I'll tell you another face that I'm tired of looking at. Every time anything racially related, whether it happened 2 minutes ago or 200 years ago, LeBron James has to be at the forefront of it. After answering questions about the Los Angeles Lakers' 128-109 win over the Portland Trail Blazers yesterday, LeBron turned things around on the reporters in the room with a question of his own. Why? James wanted to know why he hadn't been asked about the picture of Jerry Jones at age 14 peering over a crowd of white students who were attempting to block six black students from entering the doors of North Little Rock High School in 1957. Quote, I got one question for you guys before you guys leave. I was thinking when I was on my way over here, I was wondering why I haven't gotten a question from you guys about the Jerry Jones photo. But when the Kyrie Irving thing was going on, you guys were quick to ask questions about that, probably because that has to do with basketball. This doesn't have a damn thing to do with basketball.
Also, LeBron said, he was talking about, he's like, you haven't asked me about, you asked all about Kyrie, but you haven't asked about Jerry Jones yet. And then they started asking, like, no, I don't want you to ask questions. I'm like, what?
Well, then why even bring it up? Because he'd rather be a victim than actually go do something.
This is the problem, man. LeBron, they finally start a good role, and they're playing good ball, and, like, you just bring this up for what? What exactly?
He wants clout. He wants to be a victim.
Right now, he just can't stay out of his own way off the court.
I mean, this isn't the first time that he's brought something to the forefront. And, you know, the thing is, Jerry Jones is let's call it like it is. I mean, he's had a lot of players come through Dallas that have made a lot of money because of what he has done in Dallas. A lot of those former players speak very highly of him. Do they not?
They do.
They do.
The thing is, he was at age 14 when this picture was taken. And he's acting like that everybody swept under the rug. I mean, it was on the front page of the Washington Post.
You know, another thing I've thought about LeBron, thought about this morning. He just has a bunch of yes men around him. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have anybody advising him, yo, LeBron, like, don't bring this up. Just focus on ball right now. Like, no one ever tells him no.
No, you have a PR guy in NBA 2K23.
Exactly.
That's the thing. You have a PR guy in a video game.
He does more than LeBron's PR guy in a video game.
I know.
His agent is a guy who is selling bootleg jerseys out of a trunk in Akron. You don't know about that?
No.
Rich Paul?
Yeah, Rich Paul, yeah.
That's how they met. LeBron, yeah. He was selling bootleg jerseys out of his trunk of his car, and LeBron bought one to be a nice guy, and that's how they met.
Yep.
That's who he's hiring.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rich Paul is like everyone's agent now, isn't he, though?
Yeah, he signed a bunch of players. He's dating Adele. Like,
yeah.
You got to be kidding me.
Rich Paul was made by LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron runs that agency. It's called Clutch Sports, and LeBron is basically – the guy who runs
he's
it.
He's the owner. Assume, but.
Okay, so help me understand this. So you guys know, like, bootleg jerseys are, like, 100% illegal, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's still a website, so you can still buy them off of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. When they're making these bootleg jerseys, these players are not seeing any royalties off of that. No residuals. Nothing.
That's why they sell for $10.
So why would you hire somebody who is keeping you from making money through Fanatics or whatever it is that these guys are making the money through? NBAStore.com, which is now a Fanatics organization or whatever. And, I mean, this isn't the first time that LeBron James has wanted to become, you know, the face of something. I mean, there was the whole, you know, incidents with all the shootings or whatever that happened. And, you know, most time you'll never get the full story about what happened there. The one that really gets me is the one where he supposedly had the N-word spray painted on his house in Los Angeles, California, of all places. Yet, when investigators go over, there's no evidence. that it ever happened.
He also spoke on the China thing. I don't know the full story behind the whole China thing.
The China, the slave workers that he refused to condemn. But also, I think it was about a year ago when that girl that was fighting off police officers and she got shot. And
You're next.
Yeah, you're next. He posted a screenshot of the police officer that shot the girl. And
I mean, she had a knife.
Yeah, he was like, she was attacking him.
Oh, was that basically threatened to, like, get the cop or whatever?
Yeah, and then he deleted it about 5 minutes later.
Yep, okay.
Well, screenshots last forever.
Was that, internet footprint?
He also said hashtag the mid for Macron instead of the kid for Macron.
Yep.
The mid for Macron.
He just, speaks on topics that he chooses to speak on. I mean, you know, people always gave flack for, they always gave flack to Michael Jordan for never speaking on anything political or anything in this realm, but.
Amen.
But Michael Jordan won 6 championships.
Michael Jordan stayed out of it.
2 3-peats.
Republicans buy sneakers too.
That's what Michael Jordan said. Well, they gave him flack because he didn't endorse, what was it, the North Carolina senator?
I don't know. I'm not even talking about
that. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Back in the day, it was.
Yeah, he didn't endorse him, so the whole media they scrutinized Michael Jordan for that.
Well, and that's what he told his mother. He's like, Mom, Republicans buy sneakers too.
Well, the 6 rings has no. I'm not talking about just like on the court achievements. Off the court is completely different, but we could have a whole topic for 8 hours on the GOAT discussion on the court. But
I mean, if that's his focus right now, what is the rest of the team thinking? They're 8-12 right now.
Well, they've been playing good. That's not. I think LeBron just.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, put Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan in that same situation. Somebody ask them a question like that. They're not going to answer the question. They'll be like, we're 8-12 right now. It's like, we're not playing good ball. We don't have a winning record. We're trying to get back on track. I'm worried about basketball. That's how they answer that question.
I don't know.
You can't deny that.
What about when Jordan missed the playoffs for, 8 years straight?
Missed the finals?
No, I'm talking about when he missed the playoffs his first years in the league. Didn't even sniff them.
Yeah, well, never got swept in the finals.
I agree, though, that Kobe is a whole different breed when it comes to press conferences and talking about he's strictly focused on basketball when he's at his job. And you never heard anything like that about Kobe. So,
yeah, I mean,
I respect that.
Jordan made the playoffs really early on in his career.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, because he set the record for the most points in a playoff game with 63 at the Boston Garden in like 85 or 86.
He made the playoffs. He just got eliminated.
Yeah.
Yes. He didn't make the finals his first 8 years.
LeBron made the finals his third year.
He got swept, right?
Doesn't matter. Right, Jordan couldn't even sniff it.
Still got swept.
Pippen, carried by Pippen.
Still got swept.
Don't care.
Still got swept.
Still lost to the Mavs. Scored 8 points in that game.
Doesn't apply.
It does. If we're being honest here, the last real championship in NBA was the 2011 Mavs.
Real? No, I would say their last real championship was 2014.
The Spurs.
Or 2016 when LeBron came back from 3-1. That's the last real one because besides there are a bunch of fake rings.
Fake stats.
All right, let's switch off this topic, man.
Well, no, I think Matthew's got a good point here because you got to think about what all LeBron had to win those championships. When he was in Miami, he had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and Ray Allen and Mario Chalmers carrying him up.
Mario Chalmers. We're bringing up Mario Chalmers, man.
Hey, James.
Why don't you bring up Udonis Haslem, that artifact, while you're at it?
Hey, Matthew, who do you have in Cleveland?
Booby Gibson.
No. Who's that other one?
He's
so mid, we can't even think of him.
Dellavedova. Matthew Dellavedova. Delonte West. Hey, he had James Jones, Mike Miller.
His starting lineup when Kyrie and Kevin Love went out in 2015 finals was LeBron, Matthew Dellavedova, Tristan Thompson, Timothy Mozgov, and I think JR or something, or Amon Trump. I don't know.
Hey, man.
Which of ass?
Carried him up and down the court.
Hey, LeBron had Joel Anthony.
Hey. Oh, we forgot Norris Cole.
Yes.
We forgot Norris Cole.
Yes, Norris Cole. Yes.
Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio Overtime continues. Tennessee defeating McNeese State last night by a score of 76-40. We covered the spread. We had four players in double digits. McNeese State had nobody in double digits.
How did Trey English do?
Trey English had 8 points. He was their leading scorer along with Shoemate. Went 4 of 11. One rebound. One assist.
Quick question. What did Euros rebound last night?
He had 5 rebounds. Season high, I would assume.
Probably a career high.
5 rebounds, 4 points, 3 assists, and 2 fouls.
I'm sorry, 6 is his highest this year.
And 1 actual basket made. Let's get back to the phones. Phil is up. What do you say, Philly?
What do you say, Jack?
Philly!
Are you and Davidson boys doing?
Living the dream.
Well, yeah. I enjoyed the LeBron James segment to start Phil off with.
Hey, Mario Chalmers carried him down in Miami, Phil.
Well,
Davis is getting mad over here.
I think LeBron James is one of the most overrated players that's ever put on a uniform.
Well, Phil, I don't disagree with you. I think LeBron James, his legacy would be a lot better if he had just stayed in Cleveland and not went through the decision and held an hour-long special on ESPN to announce where he was playing basketball the following year to go on a stack team in Miami and then go back to Cleveland only after they got him the help that he needed.
Yeah. You got to win a championship somehow, though. That's the NBA. I mean, I'll ever watch it. It's an inferior game. I mean
it's like Henry Toto in Alabama. He tried to go down there and win one, and it didn't pan out too well for him.
Oh, Lord. Tell them the truth, aren't you?
I'm trying to. Phil, what'd you think about McNeese State coming out in that 1-3-1 last night?
Well, what else are you going to do? I mean, Colorado kind of played a zone on us, and we didn't play well, so that might be the ingredient to beat Tennessee, throw a zone on them.
I mean, just run the 1-3-1, run a 1-2-1-1 press, and, I mean, you could shut it down.
If you have the athletes, McNeese State obviously does not.
That's true, and Tennessee getting all these horrible starts, they're going to run into a SEC team that's going to have about a 20-point lead on them and won't be able to make up the deficit in the second half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the teams that worry me the most right now, obviously Arkansas and Alabama, but Auburn worries me as well.
Yes.
And I think, I don't think we're going to sweep Kentucky this year. I think we'll get one here or one there. It always works that way. But, those are your three teams, really, that I'm worried about.
Right now, we're either fourth or fifth in the SEC, depending on flip-flop us in Kentucky.
Yeah, I think the top three are Tennessee, Alabama, and Arkansas, three best. I think Kentucky's not as good as Tennessee.
No, I don't think so, which KenPom has us ranked at number 3 right now, oddly enough.
They always have us pretty high. Yeah.
Tennessee, yeah. Texas, number 1.
I don't know what they're going to do about the point guard situation. It's evident to me that they're trying to make Key a point guard, and he ain't one.
No, I mean, they put BJ in garbage time last night. I mean, he played 4 minutes, but he had 4 points. I think he had a rebound in there as well. Maybe two rebounds.
He looked good.
Yep.
But he needs 5 to 10 minutes a game. And not only that, if Ziggler turns an ankle, you're talking about a complete disaster over there.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing that, we got to get figured out, Phil, is number one, who's going to be your true point guard? And number two, can you get your offense rolling? Because, I mean, I think we can all sit here and agree the defense is pretty damn good.
Yep.
Our defense is good.
I think we have the highest rating on KenPom ever.
We do.
Defensive rating, yeah.
Yep.
Kamwa, he looks great at times, and he looks like he's never played the game at all in about a one-minute span.
Yeah, and, I was talking with Billy Stats that used to be on 3 and Out, and – he and I both agreed that Kamwa still looks like the same guy that he was when he first got here, when he was wearing the gray shoes and everybody else was wearing something different. Everybody else wearing orange and white shoes, and he stood out with the gray shoes. And he wasn't that good. And I don't think he's really changed his game that much since.
That's why I like Billy Stats, Wish he could get him back on the radio again.
Well, I mean, I'm trying, Phil. I have tried and tried and tried for the past 6 months to try to get him to get on here and talk some ball with us.
Well, get him on, and I'll call in and then I'll go over time because I used to talk y'all basketball him a long time ago, but, you know. But, guys, I'll tell you what, a dude that's most improved player on the team, and I think that the more he plays, the better he's going to get.
I'd agree with that, and I think that once you get J.P. Estrella in here next year, you got, you know, him and Adu, that's going to be a great 1-2 punch.
Yep.
Yeah, and that Awaka is going to be a good player.
Yeah, you add him into the rotation. I mean, it might be best if we could just go ahead and get Uros and Kamwa, just let them graduate, do their thing, and just get them out of here.
Would you just go ahead and put Adu in the starting lineup, just move Uros to the bench, or would you like Uros to start and roll, just rough people up, and then Adu comes in?
Yeah, just let Uros get his 2 or 3 fouls, and then you know he's on the bench after 5 minutes anyway.
Yeah, and agreed.
That'll keep Adu from getting in foul trouble.
That was my idea. You know what? I like it.
You like it?
Yep.
Well, anything new on the football front? Anybody declare for the transfer portal? Or,
well, you know, Miles Campbell. I don't know what string tight end he is, but he entered the transfer portal.
Well, you not be too good if you can get in the field with the lack of depth we got there.
Yep. You know what? That'd be pretty cool. But one name that entered the portal today that interests me, Kavassier Smoke from Kentucky.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't have any eligibility left.
Apparently he's got some left, and Dylan Gabriel out at Oklahoma, they're expecting him to enter the portal as well. I mean, it's somebody that already knows Heupel's system. I mean, if you could bring him in, he's got 2 years of eligibility left.
Because
we're gonna lose one of these quarterbacks after spring practice. One of them's going to transfer out of here.
Taven Jackson's probably going to be the one to transfer.
Gabriel or Brennan Armstrong from UVA entered today.
Yeah, I heard Armstrong was had a good freshman year, and the sophomore year he had a terrible year. So I don't, something don't add up, does it?
Penix had a terrible year last year. Now he's balling out at Washington. So you got to have the right coaching.
Yeah, plus they don't play any defense out there on the West Coast.
That's true also.
All right, guys. Y'all hang in there.
Appreciate the phone call, Phil. All righty. Let's keep it rolling. Rex is up next. What do you say, Rex?
Hey, guys. Shout out to Phil. Love him. But I got to correct him there that we don't play any defense anymore in the SEC if we're, you know, 59 points on Vanderbilt, or we give a, how many do we get for South Carolina?
Sixty-three.
Yeah, so this is that thing. But I was listening to Basilio at lunch today, and he was saying that I guess the KenPom ratings had us being the number one Tennessee basketball team of all time, that we'd be favored to beat Grant Williams by like 8 points, like that team. I just got off work. You guys may be talking about that too. Have you heard that?
I heard that it was our best-ranked defense of all time. I had not heard that it would beat the Grant Williams team. I mean, you know this, Rex. I mean, with our big men that we have now, do you see that playing out?
No.
No, not at all. That's, like, KenPom stuff. I mean, the thing about it is, like, I like Triple J, but, like, Admiral and Grant Williams were just had another gear of like a winner mentality. And after that, watching that Michigan game, Plavich? Am I saying his name right? It's just not just that. I live in Nashville. We went to the Colorado-Tennessee game, and that was awful. It was absolutely awful.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing with Uros is the fact that he only had like 4 points and 4 rebounds per game last year. And the difference between this team and that team is Grant's team also had a great point guard.
Yes.
Jordan Bone had the fastest first step in all of college basketball that year. He could do whatever he wanted to with the basketball. He knew how to run the offense. And that's why that offense was so great, is because you not only had a great player in Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams, but you also had a Kyle Alexander that could get the ball down low. And then if Jordan Bone needed to pop up and shoot, he could.
And everybody on that team, that Grand Admiral team, you take every single position, every single player is better. Everyone. I mean, you haven't even mentioned Jordan Bowden. Even Lamonte Turner coming off the bench, I think he's better than Ziegler. So,
my favorite Tennessee basketball team is always going to be the Pearl with, you know, Dane and those guys.
Oh, that first-year team, that team will always hold a place in my memory. I love that team. I mean, great.
Yeah,
they lost
I know
Wichita
Dane socially.
State,
but... He's from Memphis. He's a great guy, a super cool dude to go out with, and that was the most fun team we've ever had of any Tennessee team, I think.
Well, that's the year that made him a legend. You know, when Florida came up here, they were number 2 in the nation. It was the first time we got the $50,000 fine from the SEC because we stormed the court. But that's when he got the ball. I think Chris Lofton had stole the ball and then sent it down court to Bradshaw. He lays it in. And then at Florida, it was Bradshaw with a broken hand or broken wrist that got the steal and took it down and laid it in to win that game as well.
He was able to do that all while having crabs.
Yeah.
That's what he said on TV. I don't know.
That was a nice little bit by him. That was hilarious.
Anyway, but yeah, you guys do a great show. You got all the Tennessee shows are good, but I'm just gonna talk some hate. Except Eric Ainge and their show. I mean, I can't even listen to that guy. He's just completely tripping over himself. And you know, you guys and like Basilio and the grassroots people are the way to go or the little Twitter pop-up spaces. But like our main people, they've got to change out. Like Bob Kessling, so boring. And like Brian Rice, just all about their own ego, tripping over themselves. And they should give you guys like some sort of role at Tennessee, make it interesting. I'm tired of listening to Bob Kessling. Tired of listening to Brian Rice. They're boring.
Cut the check.
I mean, Let's do it. Anyway, you guys have a good night. We'll see y'all.
Appreciate the phone call, Rex. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio Overtime continues. Let's go back to the busy, busy phone lines. Daniel is next. What do you say, Daniel?
Hey, gentlemen, doing this evening?
Pretty good.
I have finally calmed down over the Tuesday night. Like I said, I knew they were going to put us at 7, but the sheer nonsensical reasoning behind it and the fact that they would never come out and say it was either – because of our quarterback or the losses that we had, it still blows my mind.
Well, and two, you know, something else the committee's taking into account is the fact that Crystal shut down on Cumberland Avenue a few years ago, so they're taking that into account. Another thing they're taking into account is that, you know, a couple of pizza places around the town have changed their sauce, so that kind of, it's not the same Tennessee just because of that. That's another thing they're taking into consideration.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did get some crystals one night after a Tennessee game, and I thought of you, and they were very good, very good.
Oh, did now, you go to the one in Follett?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
that's a really good
little
one.
Little midnight run.
That's an A+ crystal in La Follette.
Question to y'all: so since Blake Corum had a season-ending knee injury, does that drop Michigan to 5?
No, it changes the narrative.
They lost their best player.
Yeah.
Speaking of the college football playoff, it has expanded to 12 teams starting in 2024.
I just think all of that coming down the pike is very, very fitting as to the uproar that's been caused. Listen, I'm not like the orange colored glasses kind of guy that thinks that the world revolves around Tennessee, but there's too many nuances out there that is. There's got to be some correlation, right?
I mean, the thing is, man, you know, if it smells funky, it looks funky, then it's funky. And
yeah.
right now, I mean, that's the thing, is it just full-blown just reeks of just like stale bread and stale beer with the college football playoff committee. And the thing is, we went away from the BCS because we didn't like the computer system it was using. Now, we don't like the people running it, so where are we at? Do we find a happy medium? Is the 12 team going to be enough? Is that going to solve all the problems? Because right now, the way they're doing it there is they're going to take the top 6 ranking conference champions, and then 6 at-large bids. And what do you do from there? You devalue the regular season. You devalue conference championships. And the only way to fix it is Hal Davis.
Expand.
32 teams.
Yep.
Here's my problem I'm already going to see about the 12-team playoff, and I think it's the right move. I do. You got to let more teams in. And I think teams like Tennessee and the discussion, you know, here lately, you know, just, you know, confirms all that. But the problem I see is there's not going to be, okay, let's say that Georgia, LSU beats Georgia Saturday, right? They're
right.
In. Do they deserve to be in? No, that scenario will happen. There will be a three-loss Pac-12 team get in over an 11-1, let's just say, TCU team. That will happen.
Well, and something to take into account for this weekend, too, is Jeff Brohm is 3-0 when facing top three teams.
I saw that.
Yep.
A former Tennessee head coach, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
For, like, all of, like, 45 minutes.
If that.
I wonder if that tweet was post making his gumbo or pre making his gumbo. Anyways, I won't go on about that. You know,
that was pre gumbo.
Definitely, I think it was pre.
Definitely, because post that dude would have been down on Double L Street in LaFollette trying to bum a ride back home.
Ooh.
I'll say this much: you were talking about. Basketball teams and stuff, and I do think this team is very impressive defensively. There's no doubt. Offensively, they're going to struggle, but I think Julian Phillips is going to be a man child at the end of the. He's going to fully develop, and he's going to be prime candidate for first, you know, lottery pick come March. I mean, that guy's going to be. I think he's the teams will be on his back at that point, because without a primary ball handler, Tyree Key and Viscovi, their hands are tied.
That they really are, and I mean, we saw B.J. Edwards give a little bit of production last night when he got in, and you know, in a game like that, that's something I want to see more of. I want to see what we've got with our depth. I mean, I know he's not the 5-star that Kennedy Chandler was, but he was a high 4-star, and I'm pretty sure when they played head to head,
BJ worked him.
He did.
Yeah, he's going to have to get. You know, this scenario ain't going to work. But you know, if Ziegler's going to come off the bench, that's fine. He seems to thrive in that role. Don't you think that giving BJ a couple of minutes to start the game to take the pressure off? Because Viscovi scores the ball better off coming off screens when he's not the primary ball. That was proven last year. I mean, it ain't going to happen, but I'd love for BJ to have just a couple minutes so that you can get Vescovi or Tyree Key, you know, just some rhythm.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, like, I don't know. We talked about it earlier with Phil, and, you know, you look at KenPom, just look at it with your naked eyes, and you can see it's like, yeah, the defense is fantastic, but – the offense, we're going to have a lot to work on the entire year. Like, mm-hmm. And we need to get it fixed before conference play, because if we don't, you know, Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn, maybe even Kentucky are going to come in, and it's not going to be pretty.
Neither one of us at the gym.
Hey, yeah. don't sleep on this Arizona game that we got coming up in a couple weeks. That one's going to be a tough game, y'all. I mean, they're playing some good basketball, and we got to go there. It's at 10:30 on the West Coast. That's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, I don't see it ending pretty for us at all, especially after last year.
No.
Well, at least we get to see the desert.
We crept up on them on that one. Y'all were talking about some of your favorite Tennessee basketball teams. I loved the Jarnell Stokes freshman year when he came in halfway through the season and he put that – his first bucket was that running the hook shot over Anthony Davis in TBA. I'll never forget it. By this living Vol fan.
Yeah. Jarnell Stokes,
big body.
That was interesting because, you know, we were talking about Kumwah with the shoes and how he stood out because he wore different shoes than anybody. Jarnell, I don't think he got a team issued shoe, because this was back when everybody still wore the same shoe. He wore what, a size 18?
Yeah, they were black, and everybody else was wearing like orange and white. You know, back when we were the glorious Adidas.
And for whatever reason, Adidas immediately got better after Tennessee dropped them.
One last thing, y'all, on the way out. You know, the guys leaving the transfer portal already are kind of guys that, you know, it's kind of like it makes sense. They need a greener pastures, but and it makes sense for them. But I'm telling you, I just think we're going to I think we're going big game fishing in the transfer portal. I mean, offensively and defensively, I think that defense put out help wanted signs, and that offense is like, if you want to flourish, come on over, you know. So y'all have a good rest of the night, and go Balls.
Appreciate the phone call, Daniel. Yeah, what is your all's favorite basketball team that y'all are able to remember?
Of Tennessee?
Yeah.
2018-2019, Grand Admiral second year. Not even close.
Yeah, the same thing for me. You said it was 8 point, or he said it was 8 point favorite, this team over that team?
Yeah.
That's absolutely insane.
I'm taking that team plus the points.
That is asinine. That Grant and Admiral team would beat this team by 20.
I mean, yeah, you might want to take the money line.
Grant would absolutely destroy Olivier and Euros.
And you would have...
If Kyle Anderson run down the court, he'd probably run laps around Euros.
You would have Admiral matched up with, I guess, Triple J.
Taking Admiral.
Yeah. Like I said, every single player on the roster, Jordan Bone is better than whoever's even running point for us right now. I guess Key or Vescovi, one of the two.
Point guard by committee, essentially.
Yeah. It doesn't matter, man. Right. Jordan Bone's probably the best pure point guard I've seen since I've watched Tennessee basketball in my life.
How about you?
My favorite team?
Yeah.
Probably the Bruce Pearl first year. I know we got beat by Wichita State in the second round, but that was a very – very exciting time for Tennessee basketball because we were not expecting to get a 2 seed going into the tournament, and we show up on Selection Sunday, and there we are, 2 seed, and then only beat Winthrop by 3, and then lose to Wichita State in the second round.
What year was it with Bruce Pearl when we beat Ohio State in
that
the tournament?
In the Elite Eight?
Yes.
That would have been 2010.
Okay, I remember that game.
Because there was a point there, it was the year that we beat Memphis, I think it was the second year of Bruce Pearl's tenure,
yep,
that we went to the Sweet 16 against Ohio State, were up by like 20. I went to bed because I had school the next day because I just assumed we were going to blow them out and win the ball game. I wake up, we lost.
Yeah, Greg Oden and Mike Conley, I'm pretty sure, were on that team together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were because 2011 was that draft. Greg Oden draft and Kevin Durant.
I remember being pissed at Greg Oden when I was 7 years old.
Mm-mm-mm. But you know who did not get one past Tennessee? Evan Turner, twice. When we beat him in the Sweet 16 to advance to the Elite Eight, Turner goes down, shoots three, misses, gets it back. J.P. Prince goes up to take the shot, puts it right back in his face.
Well, at least Evan Turner had an NBA career, I guess.
He did.
Yeah.
He did do that. Consistent casual, but he did have an NBA career.
Good. Pretty sure that was the same year that Brian Williams said that Kawhi Leonard smelled like hot dog water.
Well, where's Brian Williams? Where's Kawhi?
Brian Williams is on Twitter.
Both not playing basketball.
Stay with us. Overtime continues. Some of our picks coming up.
Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Dixon and Dixon and all his reindeers pulling on the reins. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry.
Final segment, hour number one. It is time for a little round Robin Hood. We are going to do some college basketball tonight since we only have one NBA game that we can do prop bets on. Y'all want to go ahead and get the prop bets out of the way?
Let's do it.
All righty. So tonight, in about 30 minutes, actually, the Mavericks travel to Detroit. We're going to build you a same-game parlay.
Oh, I thought we were doing college. Okay.
We're going to do college, but we're going to do a same-game parlay for tonight's NBA game.
Let's do it.
Okay, Luka, 30-plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
30-plus.
Yeah. Against this Detroit team, yes.
What do you think? Bogdanovich?
2-plus threes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
What's Jaden Ivey right now?
He's hurt. That's what he is.
Detroit has
no... Oh, it's not even giving me the prop for threes.
Detroit has no injured players.
Cap? Questionable.
What do you think? Bogdanovich, 20-plus points?
Nah, I'd do 15. Yeah. He's not like that.
I mean, he's averaging 20, but I don't see him getting 20 tonight. He'll probably have 57 once I say that.
Does Luka get a triple-double?
Nah.
What do you think, 8 rebounds, 6 rebounds?
Say 8 rebounds and 6 assists.
Alrighty. Why is it not giving me assists? Well, guys, I guess we're rolling with points and assists tonight, or rebounds.
Sure. What's Sadiq Bey's point total on there?
Let's see here. It's not on here. Where's it at?
Sure.
Where's it at? It's not there.
Awesome.
What do you want? Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith, Isaiah Stewart.
I want Tim Hardaway's point total.
13.5.
Over.
What's that, Kate Cunningham?
Injured.
God. Do the Pistons have anyone?
Corey Joseph, man.
Corey Joseph, not on here.
Alex Bokes?
Nope. Christian Wood.
It's a Rodney McGruder's point. <to. laughs>
Kevin Knox?
No.
Marvin Bagley?
12.5.
Under for that bum.
Killian Hayes?
No, seriously, what's Christian Wood's point total tonight?
15.5.
We'll go under.
Yeah, under on that one.
All right.
What's Jalen Duran's rebounds?
If it's even on here, it's not.
Wonderful app this is.
We got any more?
I mean, that's – we'll just roll with that. So I just built y'all – well, we built y'all a six-leg same-game parlay. Luka to score 30, Bogdanovich to score 15, Luka 8-plus rebounds, Tim Hardaway over 13.5 points, Marvin Bagley under 12.5 points, Christian Wood under 15.5. $10 pays out $206.89. Let's move to college basketball. My favorite thing to bet on. UConn up 17-13 right now. I got in on them at 9.5 earlier, and they have moved the line to 11.5, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. An interesting one coming up here in just a few minutes, in about 10 minutes. Number 7 Creighton travels to number 2 Texas. Texas 6.5 point favorite. Who covers?
I saw Creighton play Arkansas. They actually have a very good team. I'd say Creighton covers that.
I don't. I would.
I took Texas.
I would take Texas too.
And then not really any noteworthy games until you get later on in the evening. Arizona at 8:30 travels to Utah. Arizona, a 7.5 point favorite. The odds are in favor of Utah covering the 7.5, but I really think Arizona's pretty well put together. I like them to cover the 7.5.
I like that Kansas and Seton Hall spread. Kansas only a 9.5 point favorite at home in Seton Hall.
The line has now moved to 10.5.
Nice.
Yeah.
People have the same idea, I guess.
Another interesting one out of the Pac-12. Arizona State travels to Colorado. Colorado, a 3.5 point favorite.
Arizona State. I don't know a single thing about them this year.
I have no clue.
I would take Colorado to cover, I guess.
That's what I like as well. Seton Hall, Kansas. Man, Kansas is going to cover that spread.
Yeah, Seton Hall lost to Siena the other night.
I saw that.
Oh, trust me, I know.
Yeah.
Trust me, yeah. I know. I know. And you know why I know.
Let me guess, man.
Gambling hotline.
Let me guess, you, man. You took Seton Hall minus the points. Oh, sorry, money line.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great job that St. Peter's coach is doing.
Yeah, and what's a good thing is I put it in a round robin, so I didn't lose all my money. Actually made a little bit of money on that one.
Speaking of college basketball, did you see the Portland State game last night?
Wasn't it like 63-9?
Yeah, that was the halftime score.
What was the final?
114-31.
Nice.
The team they were playing had 6 players. They had 2/3 the amount of players as they did points.
What was it, 114-31?
Yeah, 114-31. And then, last night as well, there was another game. It was Incarnate Ward beat Dallas Christian 112-64. And let me find this last game. Ohio beat Cincy Claremont 113-44.
Got two more I want to run by. Well, really three. really, because this one catches my eye. Washington at Oregon State. Washington, a 5.5-point favorite. I almost want to take the Oregon State money line.
Is this the same?
Do you though?
Is this the same Oregon State that won like three games that year?
They've lost four in a row. They lost to Portland State Sunday night by 12.
Maybe we take the Washington spread.
Yeah.
Maybe we do Maybe. That.
How many games did they win that year that they made it to like the Elite Eight?
And they beat our ass.
Yeah.
I think they won like 11 games.
11 games, and they won the Pac-12 tournament. They knocked a Penny off.
Yep.
We got movement here. Washington State at Oregon. The line has now moved to 3.5 in Oregon's favor.
Oregon to cover.
Yeah, I'll take Oregon to cover.
And then finally, UCLA at Stanford. UCLA, a 6.5-point favorite.
Is who's even on that UCLA team?
Johnny Juzang left.
He left. Is that other guy still on
Jaime
there?
Jaime Jaquez still there?
Yeah, is Jaquez still there?
The ghost of LeVar Ball.
I guess. Lonzo still plays for him, right?
Might as well. Bust he is. Let's see who they have.
I'll probably take UCLA to cover.
That's about what I'm thinking. You know, if he had Mario Chalmers to carry him up and down the court.
Jaime Jaquez is still there, so I'm taking UCLA to cover.
Yep.
Absolutely. And if you want to build a little round robin really quick, here are you some bets. Texas -6.5. I like Murray State cover 11.5 against Illinois State tonight. Colorado to cover 3.5. Arizona to cover. Kansas to cover. Washington to cover. Oregon to cover. And UCLA to cover. Put that in a round robin. Put that in a round robin and play it.
Your payout is?
In this one, a potential payout of $311.
Very nice.
That's if all of them hit, correct?
Yep.
Have you done that unders parlay lately?
Yes.
How's that one been looking out?
Still about 75% of them hit.
Just shrink it to like a 5 instead of like a 21.
What if I did like 4 separate 5 legs and missed one?
On each of them?
Yeah, I'd just be mad at that point.
Your odds are in your favor.
Just round robin it.
Yeah. Who are we watching behind this right here?
This game is on until Creighton and Texas play.
Sunrise Christian and Oak Hill.
Oak Hill fell off, I guess.
I guess so.
Hmm.
I mean, Oak Hill and Montverde are the only two top high schools I remember.
I don't know. Like last night, I turned on the Duke game for a second. Mm-hmm. You know how we all used to, like, you all used to know who was on Duke. Like, all their players year in and year out. And now I have no idea. It's just kind of, it's weird now.
It's just so, I don't know. It doesn't seem like the same Duke. Granted, they're still getting the best players in the country.
No, yeah.
But it just does not feel like Duke basketball anymore.
Not at all.
Because I don't see that big nose over on the sideline anymore. That is our number one. Hour number two of overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.